And welcome to Hagmann on this Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024 edition. A lot of information to get into, riding shotgun, co-hosting with me, Randy Taylor. I'll tell you what, had a long conversation with Peter Barry Chowka this weekend. He's going to be stopping by, or he's going to be actually with me the whole show next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow. He's going to be with me. I have some other people lined up for Lance and my Lance. I'm thinking I got a friend. That's the name of the guy who took care of my driveway, by the way. Randy Taylor and myself, we are going to be getting some great guests on, and I'm talking about some A-list guests. I've talked to a lot of people, by the way, off air, and I'm telling you, they're really, really busy with trying to balance all of these long, intense news days, and it's getting more and more difficult. I'll say that. Before I get into the show, I just want to remind everyone, folks, you know, the electric bills that you're going to be getting because of your heat, especially if you live up here off of the lake. Goodness. I don't know. I can't even see. I can barely see across the street. It's snow, but I did take a measuring tape, and right now on my patio, I've got almost 6 feet, 6 feet of snow. So anyway, yeah, I want to thank Lance for taking care of my driveway. Appreciate that. Nice, just a great guy. And more about him at another program. In fact, he's a guy to really talk to about, if you live in Erie County, you contact me. I'm going to hook you guys up, man. Guy's good. But a lot of information to get into. Before I do, I just want to, again, touch on the heating bills and how you can get around them. I use, and it's not here because I didn't bring it from my office. I use a device that works so well. It's a mini space heater. You go to staywarmnow.com, staywarmnow.com, because this winter, experts say homeowners can expect double-digit increases in your heating bills. Prices for home heating are expected to rise as high as, well, almost 11%. 10.5%, close enough. That adds unnecessary stress to homeowners who often already struggle to make ends meet. Folks, this is why I use that space heater in my home and absolutely love how quickly it makes my home toasty warm without raising my heating bills. Now, look, if you're trying to, you know, power or heat a gymnasium, it's not going to work. If you've got like a lot of draft, it's not going to work as well. So, you know, I'm telling you, though, if you have a bedroom, an office space, a den, it works perfectly. It makes my spaces very toasty warm without raising my heating bills. That portable mini heater makes nearly any room warm and cozy in no time. It's compact but strong enough to warm up my bedroom, living room, office, or anywhere else I need to I need warmth. Plus, it includes a built-in overheat protection sensitivity meter kind of thing, and adjusts heat levels from gentle warmth to toasty comfort. Do yourself a favor. Grab one of these, up to 60% off this holiday season only. This makes a great Christmas gift as well. Do it at staywarmnow.com. Plus, if you order today, you'll receive an expedited shipping along with a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. And hey, if you don't like it, 60 days, you can return it. And several other free bonuses. Once again, that's staywarmnow.com. Give the gift of warmth this holiday season. All right, I want to open up today with, I've just seen a lot of information floating around about the pardon, of course, that Joe Biden made. Well, Joe Biden, he didn't make that pardon. He didn't write that. But obviously the people behind him did. But folks, do not underestimate what is happening here. Okay. You know, Randy Taylor, myself, we've talked about Ukraine. You've talked about what's really important. the deep state, as I said yesterday, I just want to go over this with you so everyone understands exactly what is taking place. Number one, based on my extensive research since yesterday's program, I have not found any expansive pardon at all. I've never seen an 11-year total. Now, this is a total pardon, and you've got to think about these words carefully. Total pardon for crimes, all crimes charged and not charged, all crimes committed over the last 11 years, whether they were pursued, in other words, investigated or not investigated, whether they happened covertly or people knew about them. That's what this get out of jail free card pardon encompasses. Now, the next closest in terms of length of time was Ford pardoning Nixon for acts committed during his presidency. That was a 5-year pardon. This is an 11-year pardon when you count the first last year's days in between. It comes out to just almost 11 years. I mean, a few days short of that. Now, this was done. This was absolutely done to block the incoming Justice Department from doing anything but move on. They said, look, we're going to move on. We're going to put this behind us. They have to do that. In other words, they, meaning the deep state embedded within our Department of Justice, the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, the intelligence community, people like Comey, Clapper, Brennan. You've got also political people like Obama and like Clinton and Sullivan currently. You've got Blinken as well. He was involved in this. Victoria Nuland, folks understand her primary role in this. Susan Rice. These are the people who are worried about, but who are benefactors of this pardon. It's just not Hunter Biden. This was not done. Just so people understand this pardon was not done over a Thanksgiving Day meal. This was planned, methodically planned, maybe not by the potato head himself, or maybe not by that caretaker, Jill Biden herself. This was planned by members of the deep state. Again, done to block the incoming Justice Department officials, specifically and especially Cash Patel. When you go back to his book, Government of Gangsters, and you read what he wrote about the people in charge now, you'll have a greater understanding. So I got my copy out last night after the show. I was reading it, and pretty much to the point of this pardon is the deep state throwing a roadblock up against the incoming FBI director, if in fact that happens to be Cash or anyone else, but it had to be done now. Why now? Well, Biden went off to Angola. You know, usually when people, when politicians want stories to be buried, what do they do? What do they do? They announce it on a Friday when people don't really care. And he did this on a Sunday, or it was done on a Sunday. The day before, Biden flies to Angola. The tree stump goes over there and gives them $1 billion. $1 billion when people, and this is kind of a digression, but when people in North Carolina and people in East Tennessee are suffering, they've lost everything. And they can't get a dime from the federal government, but the checkbook is open. It's not Biden doing this. Again, he doesn't know what continent he's on, what day it is, or the fact that he's even running things. And damn the media, every single one of you pieces of crap out there in the media. Every one of you pieces of crap out there who ever said that this guy is as sharp as a tack. You guys, you women, are responsible for the death and destruction of millions of people, especially in this case. Now, when you look at this pardon, and again, pardon me, Well, hey, go ahead, because who knows, you know. But pardon me for going over some of this, but I've got to do this. This actually exposes the tunnels of criminality. If you look at this as a dead body, this subject as a body in a morgue, that you are about to do a post-mortem on, okay, this will show you pretty much everything. You open the body up, you take a look at various organs, and in this case, organizations, and you can see the role they played in the death of the Republic or attempted assassination of the Republic. That's how big of a deal this is. Like Biden, as I said yesterday, you can smell the decomp from that political corpse known as Joe Biden and the entire Biden crime family. But the question I had yesterday and again today, and everyone should be asking, is why was the pardon granted from January 1st of 2014? Why? Well, you take a look at Burisma. Burisma is the front company for the intelligence community. It's the conduit. It's the circulatory system of that political corpse. Burisma is like that circulatory system, but it's just not Hunter Biden and the Biden family's corruption. It exposes, like the other organs, other agencies that act as smaller vessels, as capillaries, such as, for example, USAID, family members like Joe and Frank, of course, Joe, Frank, Valerie, Jill, the enablers, and others. Burisma is that circulatory system that is at the epicenter of all of this. But this pardon, as I said, serves as a great post-mortem of everything that's wrong in the country right now and has been wrong. When you consider the start date of January 14th, things start to make sense. It's kind of like establishing the cause or the time of death of the body that you've got on that morgue table. Consider the start again, January 2014. Ask yourselves why. And ask yourselves why no one in the liberal mainstream legacy, now irrelevant media, why aren't they asking this question? Why is it more about the emotional response than the facts of this case? Now, the reason they're not asking, nor do they bring this up, is because of what happened immediately before death. When you investigate a homicide, look, I've done a number of them. What's important is the first 48 hours before that death. What happened? What was this person doing in the last 48 hours before that person took their last breath? Who was he around? What was going on? Well, when you take that and expand it to the months, you know that in December of 2013, Victoria Nuland, the U.S. State Department under Obama in its entirety at the top level, announced from the U.S. Embassy their pre-support for the color revolution. But the problem was that revolution didn't take place yet. It's like saying, well, the cause of death was a gunshot wound and the guy's walking around alive. Okay. It didn't happen yet. 2013. Victoria Nuland. But it was being planned. It would officially kick off the color revolution in February of 2014 in Ukraine when Victoria Nuland and Jeff Biot, that little mope, the head of the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, and by the way, it's Kiev, not Kyiv. Kyiv is the Ukrainian, the woke version of Kiev. It's amazing how they change words, but I digress. when effectively Victoria Nuland and Jeff Piat, the head of the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, orchestrated this actual insurrection, they planned it. They got the assets from not just the intelligence community in the U.S., not just the FBI, the CIA, and other members, but also from MI6, also from Mossad. They orchestrated all of this color revolution. But this was a top-down order from the U.S. Embassy or from the U.S., including and orchestrated by the embassy and the U.S. State Department. Throngs of revolutionary mobs descended upon the Capitol building in Ukraine, just violently ousting the sitting democratically elected government out of power, and then a new government was put in without a vote. Okay, that's the backstory there. And remember, it was put in by a phone call from the U.S. Embassy installing the new president Yatsenyuk. The CIA, as we now know from the New York Times, quickly descended and took over the entire intelligence state of Ukraine starting in immediately thereafter in March of 2014. Understand the times. Then there was a counter coup. The entire eastern side of Ukraine broke off and declared itself as not being under the control of the Kiev government. This is important. The timing, the people, the places are extremely, the details matter here. The result of the chaos led to Crimea and to the south voting in an independent referendum to join the Russian Federation. Now, consequently, the entire grand Ukrainian energy play to steal the $1 trillion gas market from Russia and have it be turned over to London banksters, not London, but the city of London, where in order to enter, even the King of England has to bow. Even you cannot get into the city of London unless you're an initiate. Okay. On the screen is a map, and one of the maps, let me just look at this one here. This is right now how far missiles could reach into Russia from Ukraine. This is the United States, along with NATO, planning an attack against Russia. But let me tell you something, folks. Russia already has what they need, what they want, because this is about really a two-front war. There's minerals. There's natural gas. There's other minerals off of Crimea in the sea, as well as the eastern part of Ukraine, which was really always part of Russia. And many will debate that, but in practicality, they're Russian speaking. It's part of Russia. Ukraine expanded on that years before to take that over, but it's really still part of Russia. Russia right now, if they quit and said, okay, we're done, they've got what they wanted. But Ukraine, NATO, the U.S., and the U.K., along with pretty much many of the European countries, they want to continue the war. Why? Because it benefits the banksters, it benefits the military industrial complex, it benefits the billionaires, it benefits the people who are really planning this out. They've been planning this out since 1990, when James Baker had made some deals with Russia about Ukraine in 94. I can go back through the history, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to do that right now. But Burisma, ultimately, I should add this. In May of 2014 is when Hunter Biden, and I have the laptop. I went through the Biden's laptop again today using some search terms, and I did find that Burisma or Biden actually became a board member of Burisma back in May of 2014. He joined the Burisma board, and he was joined by Kofor Black, Okay, Kofor Black is a man who spent 30 years in the CIA and won a CIA Distinguished Medal Award. He was Mitt Romney's body guy, okay? His connection to the IC community to get the CIA's approval and backing for his presidential run back in 2012. You got to remember the times and remember the names of the people. Now, the reason that they, the deep state, the lawmakers, the media, and so on, don't want a forensic examination of the body on the morgue table right now, which is Ukraine, the reason they don't want a forensic examination of the Hunter Biden the pardon and the run-up to the pardon, including all of the extended Biden crime family, is the fact that they don't want any of this exposed. The real issue here is the laundering of money, the operation of some key bio labs in Ukraine, in and throughout Ukraine, is that pose a threat to Russia and other countries, as well as the mineral and resources that this portion of Russia and then Ukraine has. Okay. They want to move on because it reveals something, as I said yesterday, very, very dark about what we're doing in Ukraine in the first place and what we've been doing there. If people really want the truth to come out on Burisma, Hunter, and the entire Biden crime family, as well as the other players, they could have simply told the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is really, it's a clown show, folks. It's a clown show. They're all talk, no action. I don't care who's on that committee. But they should be dragging people before the committee, arresting them and putting them on trial for crimes against humanity, for the million plus people who have been displaced and killed in Ukraine, for the blood treasure that is the mineral rights, that is the oil, the natural gas, and other aspects. Okay, and the money laundering, as well as the human and child sex trafficking operation through Ukraine. This is really, if the world, in my view, if the world, well, I'll tell you this, Ukraine is like the Kansas of Europe. It's a breadbasket. In addition to all of that, in addition to the minerals, it provides food for much of Europe. And this, the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, the guy that, you know, was made himself famous by playing the tickling the ivories with his tickle pickle. Okay, you remember that? All right. He's nothing but a thug, and he's nothing but, well, he's just a thug. But exposing this pardon would expose the entire operational blueprint from the beginning to today. Burisma, by the way, was being used as an instrument of statecraft by the Pentagon, by the Department of State, by the CIA, and as a plan to bankrupt the economy of Russia by building up an alternative to Russia's natural gas supply in Ukraine, which is Gazprom. If you remember that, that's what Hunter Biden was doing there. He was acting as an operative of the Central Intelligence Agency. Whether he knew it or not, he was operating as an operational asset for the CIA, as well as by default, the MI6 and the Mossad. Now, as I said, the pardon started in 2014. That includes the 2014 coup, which, again, is right when the pardon starts. The U.S. deep state made this play to militarily reconquer the Donbass region. I think you could possibly see it up there. There is one that has a Donbass. But understand the geography of the region and understand the lines of the country lines there. That, of course, would, when you look at that map, and I'll use that map right there, I think, let me see, I'm not in real time here, but that one of the maps does show the approximate area where the mineral, the resources, and the actual money through the gas and energy resources exist. Okay, so, but the entire Biden crime family personally benefited by all of this. Again, the U.S. deep state made this play to reconquer that area, which is half of Burisma mining rights and extraction rights where they are in Ukraine. It is the exact territory that had been lost in the breakaway from the Donbass in 2014. The other half, as I mentioned, is offshore by Crimea, which is where the other half of what we lost in the 2014 counter-coup disaster. So, very quickly, why did President Trump get impeached in 2019? Well, it was for threatening to withhold U.S. military aid. But you remember that phone call that he got impeached for? Look, we were giving billions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine before Ukraine was involved in the military war with Russia. It's because we were directing the entire counter-coup using the full power of the U.S. Armed Forces as well as our diplomatic, statecraft, and intelligence organizations to reconquer that area again, which is a territory where the resources of Burisma sit as well as the offshore resources of Crimea. This is why Victoria Nuland, as I said yesterday, announced the coup in December of 2013 as she stood in front of signs for Chevron and Exxon because they had partnerships with Naftogaz, the big Burisma feeder, okay, to counter Gazprom. And here we are. The pardon plays a big role in this because the best way to actually collect evidence about this treason and crime spree is through this forensic examination, this criminal examination, as I used as an example, this autopsy, this post-mortem. It is necessary. It is necessary to bring in the big guns through Congress. President Trump has to do this. First of all, classify everything, declassify everything, I'm sorry, and make sure it gets out, as well as have some criminal or investigative body with criminal authority to issue subpoenas across for everyone's cell phones, for everyone's bank records, for everyone's emails, and so on. You get the idea. And this is, in closing, the reason people are freaking out over Cash Patel being nominated as FBI director. The Ukraine saga is going to be playing out for the foreseeable future. They cannot contain this because they've got to continue this or be forever be exposed. Because when the history books are written, it's going to be the biggest scandal in America, if not world history. It's never going to end, this proxy war. There's always going to be a proxy war because of the long-range plan, which is the takeover of the minerals and so on. You get the idea. This will not end at Hunter. This will, in fact, continue through many other people. Before I bring, let's see here. No, let's bring on Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com, if you want to get a hold of him, on X, formerly known as Twitter. Twitter, Randy_Taylor_USA. And I appreciate his time with me, where he'd be bouncing around a lot of ideas, this and more. Thank you, Randy Taylor, for your time tonight.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Did that make sense to you?
Yep. Yeah. It makes sense. They're trying to cover their tracks.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to do it, though.
Look. They can, I mean, I say that they're going to continue this, but they can't, can they? I mean,
They're certainly going to try. They're going to paint it a different color probably and try from a different angle, but they're going to keep going. There's tons of money been made here. You don't walk away from this. This is huge. I mean, everybody that put their hand in there in that cookie jar came out with money.
Exactly. And you know,
everybody.
Think about all of the people who received the cash benefits from this. The 535 in Congress, I'll bet you there's probably a half a dozen that maybe didn't. Larry, I said Congress. That includes both the House and Senate. Yeah. But yeah, you know, this is a cash cow for them.
Yeah.
And to the extent where we promised that NATO would never be, or that Ukraine would never enter into NATO to that extent. Now they're talking about, hey, well, maybe we can invite NATO in or have. This is an affront to Russia, and Russia absolutely cannot afford to have NATO part of, or have Ukraine part of NATO, nor should they. Nope. That would be like them putting missiles in Cuba. Do we accept that? No.
Yep. Absolutely right. It's a mess. But now you know why people can start to understand why Putin's upset. Why Putin's been upset. Putin is not a globalist.
Well, and neither is Donald Trump. But when you say Putin is a globalist,
no,
he's a populist.
He's not a globalist.
No, he's a populist like President Trump is. He's Russia first. We are America first. God bless him. God bless Donald Trump. But we need that,
autonomy. Every leader of every country should take note and follow their example.
Yes.
You know, but they don't. They line their own pockets. And they line the pockets of their friends. And they line, and then they get caught up in the things like this World Economic Forum and the WHO and the UN. All of that crap should be disbanded.
Yes.
Destroyed. Every bit of it should be torn apart, torn asunder, gone. We're sovereign countries, and nothing has changed with the UN in place. There's still wars, there's still murder, there's still crime and perversion and subversion, and nothing's changed, except now they've got their hand into everything. Now somebody can see it from one spot.
Yeah.
It makes no sense when they take the countries with the worst humanitarian records and put them on a humanitarian committee in the UN. It makes no sense. It's just ridiculous. All of this is painfully ridiculous. And the citizens of the world are footing the bill. Every country.
And the amount of blood being shed over this and other places. Yes.
That's the sad part.
Yes.
And that these people sleep at night. When a decision they made the day before may have killed thousands more. You know, how do you sleep at night? Where you don't even have a moral compass anymore.
How much money
is enough?
Exactly. And one thing I did not bring up was, I mean, this was implied, not stated, is you have the Biden crime family, specifically Joe Biden as VP and as resident of the U.S., really selling out our national interests, playing the influence game. It's hard for me to really comprehend how anyone can sell out their nation for to line their pockets
and not be impeached and thrown out of office.
Right.
And this was public knowledge before he was ever even elected. We knew about this. And people still voted for this guy.
Yeah.
What kind of people vote for someone like that? How is that okay, but it was wrong for Trump to possibly have spoken to a Russian before he took office? How is any of that? None of that even makes sense. It doesn't balance out.
No. No.
It makes no sense, Doug.
And the purpose of the communications were starkly different. So I understand the comparison, but the comparison to the average person, that seems like, okay, well, we're on par, but President Trump, he was malicious in his intent while Biden was diplomatic. You can't have that. I mean, obviously. Go ahead.
But they have yet to prove that Trump was malicious in his intent.
But he wasn't.
He wasn't.
He was, you know, he was acting as a president-elect and then ultimately president in his first term, as he should have acted. And he should be acting right now. So and praise God, he's over at Notre Dame at the dedication. You know, of course, Wow. That whole thing is something to behold. But the fact of the matter is, a world leader showing up over there, Biden would probably just be walking around like a Roomba, you know, having to be pushed back. But there we have it.
Yeah, I said that when he said that Hunter was a CIA operative. You know, if they ever said that out loud, that would absolutely kill their recruiting drive.
Wait, you know.
He's more of a useful idiot.
And look, that's the thing. Okay. This benefited the CIA specifically the CIA, but most of the intelligence community. Yep. So you can, and you know, as well as I do, you know, better than I do, you can actually conscript someone and use them as a CIA asset without them even knowing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's not like they have to sign papers or raise their hand and swear. If you're working them and it's benefiting you, you're working them.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Unbelievable. The part that's always blown me away were the checks, you know, the amounts, the money. It was visible that the Bidens received from overseas sources. Not just Ukraine, China. And nobody seemed to care. Where if that had been Donald Trump, they would have never stopped screaming. And I don't, once again, it's that double standard we're talking about. I can't wait till, I hope he puts that Cash Patel in there. I think that they should go ahead and go after the Bidens anyway, because I've been thinking a lot about this Fifth Amendment thing.
Go ahead. I want to hear this. All right.
All right. The Fifth Amendment. In fact, I wrote this down. The Fifth Amendment is structured as to not incriminate oneself, since you cannot be incriminated. You can't claim the Fifth. Because at that point, if you can't be incriminated, the purpose of saying I plead the Fifth is so you don't self-incriminate. Well, if that's not even a factor, there's no reason to even bring it up. It doesn't play, in my opinion. The self-incrimination is the sole purpose of the Fifth when people plead it like that, okay? And at this point with Hunter, the Fifth holds no merit. And I think that's what a judge would say.
You know, that makes for an interesting conversation at this point, doesn't it?
There was a one, you know, it's been bouncing around as far as different lawyers and all speaking on this.
Yep.
And I saw one earlier. Let's see here. This is a gentleman named Mark Smith, a constitutional attorney, host of the Four Boxes Diner Legal Analysis Show. And he said, this now makes it much easier for a GOP Senate/House to call Hunter as a witness about his and his dad's connections to Ukraine, etc., because the pardon prevents Hunter from asserting the Fifth Amendment not to incriminate himself. That makes perfect sense.
If
incrimination's off the table and you got a pardon, you can't be incriminated, then you can't sit there and plead the Fifth unless there's some other little thing in the Fifth you're trying to claim, which wouldn't even apply.
Correct. Now, what would be the purpose of Biden being called to testify? It would be the only purpose I can think of would he would have to testify against others, correct? I mean,
family members.
He's not going to be there.
People in Burisma, people in Ukraine.
Rosemont. All of the companies, the shell companies, the NGOs, and folks, this is what's important now, because I wrote a few things down. You know, mass awareness is accelerating, and this is what is happening, this mass awareness. So if they drag Hunter into a serious congressional environment or investigative environment, doesn't even have to be, prefer it wouldn't be congressional. Hunter Biden, he would be asked questions about others, such as John Kerry's stepson, okay, his role in all of this. How many people are out there, are there, that are involved in this? It's
Didn't we get wind of Mitt Romney's son had some dealings over there?
Exactly. Yes.
So the more you poke, and the more it's like an onion, the more you peel away, the more you're going to find. And I think that I think this is huge. This is like a political Titanic, and it's starting to take on water.
But see, you know what really got me is the response by the left media and even some on the right. Let's move on from this. You know,
we lost our moral high ground. I heard him say that today. I almost fell off the sofa. What moral high ground are you claiming? Yeah, right.
And you have a lot of people on the left who are just apoplectic about the fact that Joe Biden went against, you know. Well, then you have others saying, well, you know, the situation changed, so it necessitated this pardon. It's not really about Hunter, just about Hunter. Or really not. I mean, it's about all of the associates, all of the members of the deep state, the exposure that's here. And the fact that, you know, Hunter's saying over Thanksgiving, you know what, Dad, I'm going to be writing a book. And, oh boy, what's he going to do next? He's going to write a book. Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to read that. But see, to me, that's almost like, you know what, Dad, if you don't let me off the hook, I mean, I've been paying you 10%, you know, all these years for your influence and how much, God, Lord knows how much because you wanted me to. A lot of people are going to go down over this, and I don't think people realize how big of a story this is.
Maybe they took showers together, you never know.
No, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
I remember when his daughter came out and said that. I was like, what?
Ashley Biden in therapy.
Oh, there's a prize.
And you know, the thing to expand on this, you mentioned the showers with Ashley. Oh. You take her diary, Ashley Biden's diary. And it being offered and obtained by O'Keefe Media, now O'Keefe Media, Project Veritas before, and the FBI denying its validity. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, they raid O'Keefe's apartment, and that more or less verifies the authenticity of that document, which states that the old man, Joe, was out there doing rub-a-dub in the tub with his daughter. I mean, how sick do you have to be? And you
come
know,
on, man. Look,
yeah, come on, man. and you and I, when we looked at the hard drive, Hunter Biden's hard drive, the porn. I mean, the child porn, the evident child porn.
With a niece.
Yes.
Oh man,
can you imagine? I mean, this is not.
I cannot imagine.
Folks, this family, in addition to being corrupt, is perverse. And, you know, that makes me think of Pizzagate and the people involved in that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm telling you, all of this is tied together. You might not think so. You might say, well, that's a stretch. But when you start connecting the dots, man, those dots aren't far away from one another. And it's a pretty easy picture to paint or to fill in.
Yeah. Yes, it's a very wide picture.
Now, I want to show you something, okay, it's got a lot to do with what we're talking about. But I saw this video, and this video, I don't think, let's see, I'm not sure if it's that recent, but this is this is Chief Dennis Fritz talking about a government embarrassment. And what this government embarrassment is the classification of documents. Now, you and I have run into this, okay, where folks, Randy Taylor turns during our working together. I can remember this. There were several times where Randy Taylor found an item found some documentation, found some instructions, found some intelligence, turned it over to the FBI, and said, well, hey, you know, maybe you can tell me how that worked out, or in one case, can you send that send a copy back to me because I had misplaced my copy. Exactly. And what was the response?
Oh, we can't do that. It's classified.
It's classified, right.
And I sat there in silence for a moment, and I was like, look, you, and I won't see. So I said, I gave you the damn thing.
It came from you.
Yeah, it was mine. And you sit there and you think, wow, unbelievable that they would even say something like that.
Well, okay, so the backdrop on this is I was doing the show research for today, and I came across this video. Again, I'm not sure how old this is, but I immediately thought of you. I mean, we've both had this happen, but I thought of you, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be able now to offer Randy Taylor an explanation as to what happened.
All right.
So this is video number 5 in the show notes. You can always go to HagmanPI.com, click on the episode title, and all of the show notes magically appear, and you can check this out for yourself and listen to the stuff we didn't get to. I love it. So this is cut 5. Go ahead.
Talk to us a little bit about classified documents. Is everything that's classified truly a national state secret, or is some of it just an embarrassment that the government prefers to keep from the public, and so it stamps classified on the document?
Judge, you can take this to the bank. It's about classifying certain documents to prevent embarrassment of our government and certain individuals. I've worked around top secrets since I was the age of 22. And I was a top secret control officer. And I controlled top secret documents. And I can tell you in a lot of cases, and I'm sure you've seen this in the open press, we overly classify documents. And in most cases, it's to prevent embarrassment or to conceal lies and deceit of our government. Now, we tend to use the word government, but we must understand, Judge, that people make up government. You know, the United States is designed to be a fair and humane government, but it's people that get into office. And that's why voting and watching the platforms and agendas of people that wish to be in government, because it's the people with bad intentions that causes us to make bad decisions, like going into Iraq, and as we're doing right now, supporting and providing the arms and weapons and financial support and diplomatic cover for Israel right now in the inhumane bombing of innocent women and children that's taking place in Gaza and Lebanon.
Talk to us.
We're not going to be very popular with the Israel crowd, with the Jewish crowd, but you know what? The loss of life, and I get the fact, as you, RT, and this is not the issue of the video, but I get the fact that more people die, innocent people die in war, which is horrible. Mm-hmm. But
it's usually a cover up. That's generally why some of the stuff that I send in, I would say. And it's not just documents, not limited to documents, also videos, photographs, things like that. And they don't want it. They don't want it to go any further. They don't want it to be seen. Had they acted sooner, maybe that deal wouldn't have happened.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And someone's going to have egg on their face if this isn't suddenly made classified and tucked away in a file and no longer talked about.
Exactly. I have a folder on a hard drive that has a lot of the correspondence, and interestingly enough, yours was one of them. I cannot, sadly, because of an NDA, I can't show the response from the FBI stating that it's classified. I'd love to, because it would be a hit, instant hit, but the fact is you just can't do it. So, but the embarrassment, I think that's the real reason, the incompetence or the intentional, or even if it's done with malice.
And so many lies were told to go into Iraq to justify going in Iraq to the American people.
Yes.
And then once we were in there, a whole lot more justification had to be done to keep us in there and to explain the body bags coming back with American kids in them.
Yes. Yeah, that whole time period under Bush after 9/11 was, man, I'll tell you what, I cannot imagine someone going over serving tours in Iraq or Afghanistan, what they went through. But just what we've seen, it impacted us in a negative way. So I can only imagine just how, wow, what a mess that would be, you know, bringing the people back.
And following orders that don't make sense.
No, 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 exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, getting back to just real quick here before you move on, getting back to the pardon. And again, this is a story that don't look at this as merely a political move to pardon a family member. It's not that. It's not because Joe's a good dad.
It's far deeper.
Oh, it's far deeper.
This is CYA.
Oh, 100% it is.
At multiple levels.
And some of the people that represent us. So that's why this deserves the exposure and the time. And folks, I understand people's, and even to some extent, my attention span is limited. You know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, enough is enough. But when you start looking at the intricacies of this pardon, you start realizing, my gosh, there's so much more here that no one is even questioning. So this is cut one. This is Miranda Devine from today, or yesterday, but it was one of the 2 days, talking about the fact that this is Joe Biden protecting himself. Now, I do know Miranda Devine is working on some other aspects of this. Don't ask me how I know, wink, wink. But I do know that she'll be coming out with something much greater. But the fact is, this shows a duplicity of the media as well as other people in politics. This is cut one. It's 2 minutes long, but it's really worth the pre-question and then the answer. So here it is.
That outrage to this one. The reaction is pouring in after President Biden announced a sweeping pardon for his son, Hunter. Our next guest writes this. We always knew Joe would pardon troubled son Hunter, fitting the president would break another promise to the American people. Miranda Devine is here, and I think that's right. Like, who believed them when they said over and over again that no one was above the law and he would accept what the people said? That's not the case of what happened. Miranda, before I get your take, I just want to show people some of the liberal media reaction to the pardon.
It does raise the question as to whether this is about the court of law or whether this is somewhat political theater. This has opened the door to these types of political pardons in such a way that it will be hard for Democrats and others to critique anything that Donald Trump does on this scale.
The reality here is, if this was anyone other than Joe Biden's son, no one would object to a pardon.
What say you, Miranda?
Well, I mean, I think that the most surprising thing about all of this is that anyone is surprised that Joe Biden lied. He made sure to continue that lie that he would not pardon his son right through the election. And then, even after the election, he had Karine Jean-Pierre speak at the White House podium and perpetuate that lie, knowing full well that he always intended to pardon Hunter. I think what is just impossible for Democrats to defend is that this is not just about a father looking after his son and wanting him not to go to jail when this sentencing was supposed to happen in a couple of weeks. This is Joe Biden going back 11 years to ensure that he himself is not ensnared in any investigation into his family's influence peddling around the world, earning millions of dollars when he was vice president. This is Joe Biden protecting himself.
Any thoughts or any comments on that, Randy Taylor?
There's no doubt that these people have been awash with money. Just look how they live. Look at his salary. Look how he lives. You know, and what he owns. There's no. This has been going on for a long time, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think he's going to get out of it. I don't think this Spartan's going to do what he thought it was going to do.
I agree with you in some respects. I noticed in the chat, I'm not sure who said this, about my hopism or hopium, you know. Look, I absolutely positively have a hard time believing we're going to see any real justice happen in the U.S. If it does happen, and understand what I'm saying, folks, it's going to have to happen at the hands of the American citizens. When we say enough is enough, you know, you've had your chance. And on a personal note, I actually told a detective this. You had your chance. Now get out of my friggin' way, because now it's my turn. Okay. That's the point. The reason I said that is I believe that is the point that the American people have to come to and say, okay, you've had your chance, Comer. What'd you do? You wrote a friggin' book. And I won't even give you the name of the book, because I'd never buy it, because you're a piece of crap when you could have done something you didn't. Okay, so it's going to be at the hands of the American people. And I do believe that the American people, once filled and accelerated by mass awareness, or with mass awareness, are going to do something. I don't know what that something might be. But we're sick and tired, and I'm going to turn this right over to you, but we're sick and tired, I think, of seeing moms, people from, my goodness, J6ers are still today being raided by this out of control FBI. Okay, how sick is that? I saw some footage from Florida. It might have been from last month, or it's probably 30 days. But you had an entire FBI team, I think it was Florida, at a home at 6 a.m, actually threatening the wife and the kids inside the house, but even worse, threatening a daughter who is serving in the Marines overseas. Okay, over a loudspeaker in a neighborhood, to get after a J6er who did nothing but protest. It didn't break a window, didn't hit anybody, didn't do anything. But we, at this point, if we don't see a change, I do believe this is the last chance of the Constitutional Republic. So please, it's not hopium, it's not hopius or whatever it was. It is an acknowledgement that this acceleration of awareness is going to change people and change them forever. RT, whatever your thoughts might be on that.
Oh, I totally agree. I honestly think Americans had enough. I think that the deep state got somewhat of a reprieve just by Donald Trump being elected. Because I'll be honest with you, I thought that there'd be, on November 6th, I thought lives would be going to be taken. I certainly did. Because the government was pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, I figured they would try and cheat again, and I knew the American people weren't going to stand for it. So, even with Donald Trump going in as president, one, remember, he hasn't gotten an office yet. So we still have to, you know, there's that hurdle. Keeping him alive. 20th is a good ways away. And there's going to be a lot. It's going to transpire. Just like what you're seeing now. Look at the craziness. Every day, craziness jumps out of your television set and off your computer and off your tablet and off your iPhone into your face. Craziness. And I don't think we've seen anything yet. It's going to go flat out crazy. And I do, like you said, we've got to get Donald Trump in office. He has to make it in there safely. And even then, the threat's going to be very, very high. He's walking into very volatile situations around the world. It's going to be tough. It's going to, It's going to test the American people. That it really is. That's firmly what I believe. But I think that, as we said, you know, somebody wrote me an email a couple weeks ago and said, you know, they said, thank you. And I said, I say thank you because you always said, no matter what, we're going to get through this together.
Amen.
And I sent that to you, Doug. I want you to see that.
I saw that.
And it was a genuine thank you from someone who I've developed a friendship with through emails. And that meant a lot to me because we are, at the end of the day, we're going to get through this together one way or another.
I totally agree with you on that.
You know, and we show it every day. We get through a little bit more. And we'll keep hanging in there.
You know, I just perhaps I misread what I read very quickly in the chat. It began with, I sat back and watched your evil, meaning me, and my days are numbered or whatever. I've been weighed and found wanting. And I'm not going to even address the person who, or name the person who wrote that. But, you know, it's interesting to me that you and I in our age group are being blamed for the condition of the country. And then when we say, okay, enough is enough, now we have to righteously fight back and do the things, again, righteously, having given everyone all of the chances, that we are again, if I'm looking at this correctly, and I may not be, but again, saying, well, you know, basically you're evil for even suggesting this or for, you know, talking about this. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I do too. And I would ignore trolls like that.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, that person is a troll. No, don't.
But again, I don't know if that was the intent, but if it was, again, if we are being blamed for allowing a situation in the larger sense to fester and to become reality, then don't we have a responsibility then to accept?
We would be responsible to fix it.
Right. Right.
And we have before accepted that responsibility, and we've also made it quite clear that if we have to fix it, we will.
Well, exactly. I think you're 100% correct on this.
So that person needs to check themselves and correct themselves.
Well, yeah. And again, I could have misread it, and
if they said you were weighed and came up short, forget all that. Okay.
Well, it went by pretty quick. So
somebody actually read something in a book, and they finally read a book, and they remembered something from it.
Yeah, it's
don't worry about it.
Book's called a Bible, but okay, yeah, but, it's convenient how that happens. Okay, one more on Joe Biden pardoning Hunter. This is just very quickly, although this is an 8 minute
before that.
Yes.
I have a mystery video for you.
Okay. I love this. I love this. We're going to have to create a segment for mystery videos. Go ahead.
You ready for it?
Well,
I don't know. Are we ready for it?
Give us some context here.
It's right in line. Don't need context.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
Is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No. I've been very clear. The president's not going to pardon his son. It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No. Look, the president, I can speak for the president, and he said he would not pardon his son. And I'm just going to leave it there.
He says it himself. It's in his voice. He said he came to this decision this weekend. And he said he wrestled with this. And because he believes in the justice system, but he also believes that the war politics infected the process and led to a miscarriage of justice. This is his words. I'm just repeating what the president said.
Well, quite the mystery there, Eric the Tech.
Yeah. That chick hates herself. She hates her job. She can't wait for the 20th. She's... She's been thrown under the bus so many times, it's not even funny.
I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to ask you, and even ask the people in chat, if you were that, okay, press secretary. Wonder how long it takes to, never mind. But if you had to go out there with your binder, which to me, that's like a teddy bear, I think. I don't know. It's her.
I'm a mop.
Yeah, you could flip her over and do the floors, I'm sure. And that's not a racist thing. That's just an observation because I've seen, you know, Caucasian people with that, but. Ring that out. I'd have fun ringing that out. But
if she can be nasty, we can be nasty.
There you go. Well, let me ask you, and everyone, how much would you put up with knowing that? Does she not know these are lies, or does she know they're lies and just? I mean, help me out here.
In the chat.
Maybe she just, maybe she honestly thought he wouldn't pardon him.
Man, I
there's that grim possibility.
Wow. If that's the case, then that's one of the most ignorant. And again, wow, you got to be pretty far out there not to believe. I mean, even with all the media saying, you know, oh, he's not going to pardon. In Eric's soundbites, come on, man! You know, seriously, you knew that from the beginning. He had to, but that's just that. But I want to show you this before.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
That's why I love Eric the Tech. And that's why I love Randy Taylor. By the way, I have an announcement before the video. Tomorrow at 6 a.m., starting at 6 a.m., I believe, we will have 50 books in the Dark of Night available at Hagman Store. You can go to HagmanPI.com, click on the store link, and it'll be up there to get a signed copy. And if you want it personalized, please, I ask you to do this, okay? If you want something written in addition to my signature, or if you don't want my signature, I mean, I don't care. It's just, you've got to tell me precisely what you want written. Okay. Because I'm not a mind reader, and, just be clear. Okay. And make sure you spell your name right, and I'll get them right out to you. So I've got 50 on the shelf right now, ready to go out for Christmas, make a great Christmas gift. Yeah, in my view anyway, stocking stuff or whatever it might be. I'm going to send one to my wife who hasn't read it. I'm kidding, but you get the idea. So, all right. So Hagman Store or HagmanPI.com, click on the store link and be very specific in the areas where you have to put in, you know, do you want to personalize? Yes. Okay, fine. Or signed? Yes. Personalized? Okay. What do you want me to say? And if you don't, maybe I'll throw in something like, I don't know, a surprise, a good surprise. So, you know, and after you read it, the only thing I ask is you give an honest review at Amazon. And, that's it. So, okay. But I'm going to show this, Randy Taylor.
Unless it sucks, then keep it to yourself.
Yeah. If it sucks. Yeah.
And we need some book sales here.
and yeah, it doesn't matter unless you sell like, you know, a gazillion books. You're not going to make a lot of money. But
libbity-gibbity nonsense.
Where'd you find that one? Oh my gosh!
At what time tomorrow are those books available?
6 a.m.
Okay.
All right. So. All right. I'll be up at 5:45, just hitting the buttons. But I want you to take a look at 2 minutes, roughly two and a half minutes of this Bongino clip from yesterday. This is about the pardon, and we'll close the pardon part of this. But Bongino has a little bit of, I think in this clip, if you watch the whole clip, you'll get the context of the first part. And I think folks, in this case, Bongino's like, pretty accurate, but also goes into the personal aspect of things. So, and this is kind of like a wrap up of this. So this would be clip number 3. Clip 3. I had to find it on my show notes here. Go ahead. Fire when ready.
Hold on.
And he's not ready. I surprised him with that, Randy Taylor. Okay. In the meantime.
The reason he pardoned this kid is not because he's a good dad. A good dad doesn't let a drug-abusing, crack-using son go conduct international business when you're the freaking vice president of the United States, dipshits on the left. I'm a dad. I've got kids. Can you imagine having a kid with a drug problem going, I've got an idea. I'm the vice president, and I need... Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. 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 Dark mode freaking D-bots is on, okay? Because a good dad does not send crack-addicted young man to go overseas and fleece money from a bunch of countries which you, ironically, have been put in charge of by the President of the United States at the time, who happened to be Barack Obama. He pardoned his son because he knew his son was getting ready to do this. What are you going to tell me right now, Guy? Describe for the Spotify people at home at Apple what you were talking about. I'm flipping the middle finger because that's what Joe Biden was about to get from his kid. No. Yes. What's that? Yes, thank you. I can read Guy's mind. I know what Guy's going to say. Boy, Guy is always, for Guy has this audio. I love our audio only audience. Guy is like super loyal to them. Explain here. There are two middle fingers up and they're both mine. That's what Hunter Biden was about to do to Pop Dukes.
Okay, pay attention to this.
Folks, I've always been honest about my sources. Yes, Justin, the big guy was about to get the big woohoo right up the caboose-a-rooski. Okay? I've always been honest about my sources. Have I not? Here's unself-praise, okay? I didn't have the best sources in the Kamala Harris team. I didn't. I got damn good ones on the Biden team. Oh, trust your boy D-Bots. I've been saying this forever. Hunter Biden's lawyer has been quietly threatening dad the entire time. You give us a pardon or we're about to lay waste to you in a book, in testimony, whatever we got to do. And I'll bet they went down to vacation time over Thanksgiving and he was the Thanksgiving table. Hey, Dad. Hey, son. Do you have any crack? I don't have any crack here, but there may be some cocaine in the White House. We might ask the Secret Service for that sample back. Oh, my gosh. You know, this might come up, by the way, Dad, if I write a book about drugs and Ukraine and stuff like that, and you know you were the vice president. And here's Dad. Oh, shit. Maybe we should do something about that. That was the conversation on Thanksgiving. No one was giving thanks, but there was a lot of giving. Giving this! The double-barreled right up the caboose. This guy was screwed. It's true.
Okay, this you guy can was cut screwed. It right there. The mention of the cocaine is important because Biden does have, or Dan Bongino does have, some really great sources in the Biden orbit in the White House.
So he can get us some good blow?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He can hook us up. Well, Hunter can hook us up. But that was interesting because that was kind of a little tell there. But the Hunter aspect against the father, there's a lot of animus between Hunter and Joe because Joe used Hunter a lot. And I can't imagine, and I really can't imagine this, and I know RT, you can't either, as a father using a son, okay? But then you also have the son using the father too, or as well. So,
are you gay?
Did they say gay or game?
Are you gay?
Are you gay?
Not me, brother. You won't find a gay gene in my body. By the way, into the sun, look, brother, no worries. I read that very quickly. Thank you so much for the clarification. Thank you. I read that very quickly. I got to stop doing that. If they're not word pictures, when I just look, it's hard. So thank you for that. But Bongino was right on this. I think that there was.
Thank you for what? You got clarified on the.
In chat? Yeah, the chat thing. I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks. So we don't have to send people out to talk to anybody. Okay, I would just like to know that.
Yeah, we know where you live.
We have your IP address.
Yeah. No, and you know what? I look at I got nailed for saying this before. I look at the viewers and listeners as really people I'd love to have a cup of coffee with, sit down, talk to, and almost like family members.
We get our share of weenies too, though.
We do, but man, so what? Is there anyone else?
I'm not going to name any names like Larry, but I'm.
Dirty, rotten traitor.
I love Eric Patek.
Oh, you crack him. You're killing him, Eric.
Oh, man. That's fabulous.
I have a quick question because I have a lady that's been corresponding with me.
Yeah.
On the books tomorrow, how do they buy them?
Do they call you?
Is there going to be a special link?
Eric the Tech, why don't you explain this since you're so...
It'll be in our store, but Doug will put the link in the program description box.
I will?
Right towards the top.
On tonight's show or what?
Yeah, on tonight's show. It'll be the second link down. The first link by contract, I've got to do the read, but the second link down, you'll be able to see it. But just go to Hagman PI, go to our Hagman PI store, and then the book will be right there. And I'm doing the second book. The third book, I wanted to have out by Christmas, but, with Russ passing and stuff, and this still goes back to my time in the 80s, to finish that up. I wanted to make sure through some of the guys up here, in preparation of yet the fourth book, the third book is pretty much compiled and ready to go. But I want to make sure that before I release the fourth book, which is going to bring us to real time, real stuff. But the third book, by the way, has a lot of deep background into book four. So I'm confusing myself here. All I'm going to say is the link for this book two is going to be in the program description box in Rumble, as well as at Hagman PI. And if you go to Hagman PI, nose around, you'll be able to find the Hagman store, and then you'll be able to see the book. Okay. So, but anyway, and 6 a.m. Eastern time. And really, folks, that book, that's based on a true story. I think there's only one embellishment that I didn't make in that book. The rest is 100%. I lived that, and I've got to say that was a very unpleasant time, and I learned a lot from that. But Russ, 30 years later, well, 20 years later, really connected the dots for me on the evil things, because the following book, the book after the next one, is going to dwell on Pizzagate and the current events. Sadly, my attorney advised me not to name any names, at least not real names. You'll be able to figure it out, folks. And even with the previous books, because some of the people are still alive yet, I can't, I had to change the names, just like I had to change my name. Which I did that, and I'll keep doing that for continuity purposes. But that's that. Okay, enough of that. Enough of the self-promotion. I hate doing the self-promotion stuff, Randy Taylor. I really do. This came up. Let me just make sure I've got this. there is a pushback, and I mentioned about mass awareness coming to fruition. Randy Taylor, I'd like your thoughts on this, the fact that mass awareness is accelerating. When President Trump gets in office and we have a working, a functional Department of Justice, let's pray we do. I want to ask you, should we go after the very people who created this lawfare, this political, well, politically exposed persons, the people who are being canceled, the people who are being put on trial, the J6ers? Should we go after those people who created?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Without fail. And I mean, go after them hard.
Okay.
And the sentences. See, there's certain things that have been very, very wrong recently, like cheating at elections and this law affair.
Right.
And when you get convicted of it, the sentence needs to be memorable and a message to anybody else that even thinks about doing it.
That's not retribution. That's not revenge.
No, that's called setting. That's it's called setting an example. It's just like a judge in a small town throwing the book at somebody. It's because he doesn't want it to happen anymore in that small town.
Okay.
Well, this is our big town. We don't want it happening in our big town. And it has to stop. You should never be using your power to persecute people.
No.
And what Donald Trump's going to do and what he's going to give instruction to is not persecution, it's prosecution.
And really justice. Yes.
It's justice, and it's bringing it back up to level where it's supposed to be. These scumbags took it down here. Now we've got to bring it back up, set the mark, and enforce it.
I agree.
This mamby-pamby crap's got to stop.
Mamby-pamby talk.
When you start playing with people's livelihoods and making up lies, and these judges, they've got activist kids, and meanwhile they're trying to prosecute Trump, you know, and helping the prosecutor, you know, overly making it obvious that he's on the side of the prosecutor and not on the side of the defense. A judge is supposed to be impartial.
Yeah.
And every one of these judges has not been impartial in Trump's trials. And every time the left says, well, you voted for a felon. He's not a felon. He never Precisely. Was a felon.
Thank you. He's not an adjudicated sexual predator. He's not a felon.
He's not a felon.
No, he is.
Wrongfully convicted and wrongfully persecuted does not a felon make.
Right. And I would say that, too, about any person, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't matter. It's President
Trump. You're supposed to get a fair day in court.
Yeah.
He has yet to get a fair day in court, in any court.
And can you imagine, being convicted of a politically related crime and having to sit in front of a New York or, you know, Manhattan or DC jury, you could not pull, the jury pool is already contaminated. You know, look, there are people out there that make their livings by, as jury consultants, or, you know, as consultants for attorneys to select. Yeah, there's no way that it's incredible. There's no way in hell to get a fair trial, jury or otherwise. But what's worse, Randy Taylor, and this is cut two. Okay, this is Julie Kelly, and she's going to be coming on with you and I at some point. Julie Kelly is. She's a tremendous investigative reporter. She details the crimes against American citizens committed by Matthew Graves, but she also names some judges. If you follow her social profile, she's now outing the activist judges, especially in D.C. This is so important, and which will lead to the next thing. And the next thing is you and I and the people in the chat, people listening and watching this. We are soon, even with a President Trump administration, I believe there's enough time for us still to be labeled and, more most importantly, treated as politically exposed persons. And by that, I mean unable to fly, unable to get a bank account, unable to get an Uber, unable to use DoorDash or, you know, other companies. That's what this is all coming to. So with that in mind, if you don't mind, we'll play cut two and then your thoughts on this, because Julie Kelly does get into the details, the mechanics, and then from there, we'll end it with the politically exposed persons that they're trying to make us into. And that includes everyone in chat. If you're listening, even if you're not listening or watching, you've got that. But yet you are America first. This is what they want to do to you. But here's Julie Kelly first. Here it is. Cut to.
Let's go through these people. That's a great case for doing it. And President Trump, I'm sure they're working. I know they're working on something. You know, there's been all kind of things you're going to do it all. And people say case by case. Let President Trump do his work here. But let us identify for the audience what we're up against and who these people are that have done this, ma'am, because I want to make sure we put faces to action. And they shouldn't be, oh, you can't do that. The practice. No. They took action. Yep. They're government employees. We got to know what happens. So let's take it from the top and walk me through kind of the folks you have in this rogues gallery.
So we know who the biggest perpetrators are: Joe Biden, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, not just responsible for the criminal investigations and two federal criminal indictments against Donald Trump, but of course initiating this, what they call capital siege investigation and prosecution. So, Steve, as we noted last week, the DOJ and FBI counterterrorism task force arrested a few individuals, I believe two people from Florida, I think another man from Texas or Tennessee. So they are continuing this prosecution. But today, Steve, and so who is responsible? Who is the individual whose office continues to bring these charges and handle these cases before D.C. judges? The name of that individual is Matthew Graves. He is the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. He was appointed by Joe Biden to take on that office in November of 2021. Now, Steve, you're familiar with him because Matthew Graves' first act as D.C. prosecutor was to bring charges against you. That was the first thing that he did. After that, Matthew Graves...
I didn't even know that. I got it. This is why I read Julie Kelly. I didn't even know that. Matthew Graves. But that was a Pelosi done deal. But it's the corruption. But keep going. Who's Matthew Graves? Can I get that picture a little bigger? Denver, Palm Beach. It's too tiny. Go ahead, Julie. I want to make sure everybody knows who Matthew Graves is. We're going to make him famous. Let's see who Matthew. There we are. Tell me about Matthew Graves.
Matthew Graves, again, appointed by Joe Biden. He was a former law partner in Washington, D.C., of second gentleman Doug Emhoff. Matthew Graves' wife, Fatima Goss Graves, runs a $100 million nonprofit in Washington, a far-left radical nonprofit, who is one of the nonprofits trying to force Clarence Thomas to resign. She has visited the Biden White House at least 40 times while her husband is doing Joe Biden's dirty work and throwing Trump supporters in prison. That is Matthew Graves. He is the one who continued to bring the unlawful obstruction of an official proceeding felony against J6ers, even while the Supreme Court was considering overturning how the DOJ and Matthew Graves applied that post-Enron statute, which is, you know, they overturned and reversed the DOJ in June of this year, continued to bring that charge, is still arguing and trying to bring that felony count. He is the one who brought seditious conspiracy charges against nonviolent members of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, resulting in their convictions before D.C. juries and commanding life sentences for some of them. And you know this, people like Enrique Tarrio, sitting in jail now for 22 years in prison, like he's a mass murderer for a seditious conspiracy charge brought by Matthew Graves to bolster the idea that what happened on January 6th was an insurrection incited by Donald Trump. These are not legitimate charges. They were not legitimate convictions. Yeah. It was all political, and it was all done at the hands of Matthew
Folks, you can watch the entirety of the clip, but I'll say this. There are two things that we can never let go, at least two things in recent times, working backwards. January 6th, then, of course, the election of 2020. We cannot let those go. And then if you want to go back further, we can't let the U.S., what our role was in Ukraine or Syria, because Syria is a big deal, and we have to get to the bottom of 9/11, or at least expose 9/11. We have to push and push and push. And I think one of the big parts of mass awakening of the public is, in fact, Kash Patel, first day. If he's the one, whoever might be the first day, you declassify everything from the JFK documents to everything from there to the Spygate stuff. That's my belief. Randy, your thoughts?
Yep, do it to it. I'd be really interested to seeing that. There's at 9/11, that definitely needs to be exposed. That set us down a really treacherous path. That changed the world that we know more than any event I can think of in my life.
You know, it saddens me because you and I, without going into details, folks, Randy Taylor and I sat in the first Secretary of Homeland Security, Tom Ridge's driveway for a while. I think you remember that day. But, you know, what happened after and as a consequence of 9/11 is what brought us here. So the orchestrators, the perpetrators of 9/11 have to be exposed. And then we had the anthrax attacks. And then we had, you know, and before that, of course, we had Oklahoma City. We had Ruby Ridge. And let's not forget about all of those that we have. You know, people have short memories.
Waco.
Yes. Janet Reno, that parking lot dyke, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. And I say that with all sincerity because that's what, well.
The lack of respect is intended.
And remember, do you remember that I'm trying to think, the little boy Gonzalez, maybe, I'm not sure, that picture when Reno, I think it was under Reno, when they were trying to send him back to Cuba, and there was that iconic picture of the man holding an AR, in grabbing that little boy to send him back to Cuba.
Yeah, I remember that. Little Havana down in Miami.
Yeah, exactly. So much, I mean, there is so much that we have to look into and we have to bring to the forefront with that we cannot forget. And I'll say this, we cannot forgive on a practical, not a spiritual, but a practical level, that we have to demand answers for.
Yeah.
The last thing, and then the rest will be discussion. The last thing is, I mentioned the politically exposed persons. And Joe Rogan did a recent podcast. And folks, this is where we're headed unless you and I, and Randy Taylor knows this, unless we all get involved and we all stand up for one another and say, no, we can't do this. This is cut six. Explaining, there's a conversation between Mr. Rogan and someone else about a politically exposed person. Now, I'm not in favor of somebody who smokes dope and drinks on a podcast. You know, you got to have a little bit more respect for others and yourself. But the information is clear here. And I think that people have to understand where we're at. So this is cut six. Fire at will, Eric the Tech.
new in financial services.
And can you give me an example?
Well, I guess, debanking. This is where a lot of the debanking comes from, is these agencies. So debanking is when you as either a person or your company are literally kicked out of the banking system.
Like they did to Kanye.
Exactly. Like they did to Kanye. My partner Ben's father has been debanked.
Really?
We had an employee who...
For what?
For having the wrong politics. for saying unacceptable things. Under current banking regulations, here's a great thing. Under current banking regulations, after all the reforms of the last 20 years, there's now a category called a politically exposed person, PEP. And if you are a PEP, you are required by financial regulators to kick them off of your to kick them out of your bank. You're not allowed.
But what if you're politically on the left?
That's fine.
No,
Because they're not politically exposed.
So no one on the left gets debanked.
I have not heard of a single instance of anyone on the left getting debanked.
Could you tell me what the person that you know did? What they said that got them debanked?
Oh well, I mean, David Horowitz is a right wing. You know, he's pro Trump. I mean, he's said all kinds of things. You know, he's been very anti-Islamic terrorism. He's been very worried about migration. All these things.
And they debanked him for that.
Yeah, they debanked him. So you get kicked out of your bank account. You get kicked out of you can't do credit card transactions. By the way, you can't.
How is that legal?
Well, exactly. So this is the thing. And then you go into this thing of like, well, there's no. This is where the government and the companies get intertwined. Back to your fascism point, which is there's a constitutional amendment that says the government can't restrict your speech, but there's no constitutional amendment that says the government can't debank you, right? And so if they can't do the one thing, they do the other thing, and then they don't have to debank you. They just have to put pressure on the private company banks to do it. And then the private company banks do it because they're expected to. But the government gets to say, we didn't do it. It was the private company that did it. And of course, JP Morgan can decide who they want to have as customers, of course, right? Because they're a private company. And right. So it's this sleight of hand that happens. It's basically a privatized sanctions regime that lets bureaucrats do to American citizens the same thing that we do to Iran.
Whoa.
Just kick you out of the financial system. And so this has been happening to all the crypto entrepreneurs in the last 4 years. This has been happening to a lot of the fintech entrepreneurs, anybody trying to start any kind of new banking service because they're trying to protect the big banks. And then this has been happening, by the way, also in legal fields of economic activity that they don't like. And so a lot of this started about 15 years ago with this thing called Operation Choke Point, where they decided to, as marijuana started to become legal, as prostitution started to become legal, and then guns, which there's always a fight about. Under the Obama administration, they started to debank legal marijuana businesses, escort businesses, and then gun shops, just like your gun manufacturers, and just like you're done, you're out of the banking system. And so if you're running a medical marijuana dispensary in 2012, like you, guess what? You're doing your business all in cash because you literally can't get a bank account. You can't get a Visa terminal. You can't process transactions. You can't do payroll. You can't do direct deposit. You can't get insurance. Like none of that stuff is, you've been sanctioned, right? None of that stuff is available. And then this administration extended that concept to apply it to tech founders, crypto founders, and then just generally political opponents.
So,
yeah, so that's been like super pernicious.
And, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, 100%. And this is called, so it was Operation Choke Point 1.0 was 15 years ago against the pot and the guns. Choke Point 2.0 is primarily against their political enemies and then to their disfavored tech startups. And it's hit the tech world. Like, we've had like 30 founders debanked in the last 4 years.
Real?
Yeah. It's been a big recurring pattern.
30?
This is one of the reasons why we ended up supporting Trump. It's like, we can't live in this world. We can't live in a world where somebody starts a company that's a completely legal thing and then they literally like get sanctioned, right, and embargoed by the United States government through a completely unaccountable, no due process. None of this is written down. There's no rules. There's no court. There's no decision process. There's no appeal. Who do you appeal to, right? Like, who do you go to get your bank account back, right?
God.
You know, and then there's also the civil asset forfeiture side of it, which is right the other side, and that doesn't happen to us, but that happens to people in a lot of places now who get arrested, and all of a sudden, you know, the state takes their money.
Yes, but that happens to people if they get pulled over and they have a large amount of cash in some states.
Right, or you know,
okay.
they'll cut that.
And folks, again, all of these will be at the full link or the full. The full cut will be available at HagmanPI.com in the program description box. But this happened to Laura Loomer. This happened to a lot of people I know where they've been canceled. They cannot use Uber. They can't use DoorDash or whatever the and I say DoorDash, meal delivery services, okay? They can't order from certain places. So this is when we fight back. This is a consequence of fighting back, of fighting against the system. This is just like us, Randy Taylor, myself, getting kicked off of GoDaddy. This is us getting kicked off of YouTube. This is us. But it goes further than that. You cannot do business with certain stores or with certain cards that you may have.
It's like being swatted financially.
Boy, that's a great. That is absolutely great. Yeah.
It is ridiculous. And that people even have that kind of power.
Yes. But
they do. And it will continue until somebody puts an end to it.
Yeah, and I think I would like to think, and folks in the chat, look, I don't know. I'd like to think whether you believe that this could be ended by a President Trump presidency or by the people in his orbit, the people he appoints and become approved for the various positions. Could this be ended? But there's no law that says you can't do this, right? So, so I'm just waiting for the time, and I won't get into the details, but, we have different accounts at different banks. It doesn't mean we have a lot of money. We have a little bit in each. Okay. Because if we lose one, we can go to the other possibly. And so we're trying to get to a point where we can protect ourselves in that fashion. And I would urge everyone, especially if you're vocal on social media, do the same, because now we're finding out, and as that clip will explain, the social media companies are doing the work in RT. They're doing the work as through NGOs for the people that make these decisions, and it turns out a lot of them are with the intelligence community that you can't. You can't bank here.
It's same thing up in Canada.
The truckers, right?
Yeah, after the truckers' convoy, anybody, it didn't matter if you only sent them $5. They froze they went and froze your bank account. And I mean, it's just unbelievable that someone would do that. And that's why they're working on that, making to where what you say online is going to be a crime. You know, they're doing this. They have this fantasy of the social credit score. And if you're not, you know, if you speak out against the government or you do this or you do that or you do anything that they don't approve of, you won't be able to get a loan. You know, you won't be able to get a mortgage. You won't be able to go to a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? You won't be able to buy a car. This is what they're already doing in Canada. They've already... By freezing people's bank accounts for contributing to the trucker, to the convoys, that's unbelievable. But that's exactly what they did. Like, how many times have I told you? If it's going on in Canada, it's coming here. The only saving grace we have is that Donald Trump's going to put a halt to a lot of this. But listen, we've got it in 4 years. We've got to maintain the pace that Trump sets.
Yes.
We have to maintain it because Trump only has 4 years.
Well, really.
And coming in, you know, yes. coming in behind, you know, this is we need to already be looking at 2028, you know, and who's going to toe the mark. But we have to have done well enough in the country that people love the Trump presidency and the ideals and all and the things that he has set forth.
I sorry for interrupting. I just want to welcome the people from Common Censored. God bless you. Thank you so much for rating our stream. Appreciate you. Welcome to the Hagman Report. Randy Taylor, myself, Doug Hagman, HagmanPI.com. And thank you so much. Also, Eric the Tech put up a link to just specifically to the people in our chat for an early ordering of the signed copy. And if you click on, you know, add to cart, and then you continue to check out, you can put personalized instructions. You could put, you know, whatever you want written in there to Uncle Ned, you know, Merry Christmas from whoever, whatever you want written in there, just put in that box. You'll see it. It's all there for you. And, I believe I'll take care of the shipping on that. I really haven't seen the backside of that, but, hopefully that'll be the case.
And if you order a book and write it in there yourself, we won't tell us all.
Write it in there yourself. Oh, amen. All right. So, but you know, okay. So I guess my question in the 48 days left, there are a couple of issues. We're, again, just to recap, we're running headlong into World War III, which we really didn't talk about. The big deal that is the Hunter Biden pardon that we have to really look closer at because of all of the crap that's going on behind the scenes and the fact that there are so many other people involved in the Ukrainian, and even the Chinese, all of the Hunter laptop exposés that we have, you know, so we have to really we have to get ahead of all of this. And then, of course, that brings us to what we were just talking about. And what you just saw was the, you know, anyone who goes out against this deep state, or at least those people whose heads are above the crowd, will get picked out and they'll be depersonalized, debanked, and so on. You know, and people say, well, we're all Alex Jones at this point. And really, that's the case. So we've got to really fight back and be prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, be prepared to engage in that fight. So I mean, that's just me. I just think that we have to. And I'm very concerned, by the way, and kind of I want to get your take on this. In these 48 days, Randy Taylor, look, I've been, you and I, we did a lot of investigation of what happened in Butler, just a touch, a little bit on Florida, but had the information prior to Florida about Florida, well, about another potential assassination. How worried are you about President Trump between now and 48 days? Has your concern waned at all?
Stays up there. I'm going to have a concern until he's firmly seated in office.
And even then, man,
no matter what, the threats are going to increase.
Yeah.
I mean, Iran's piling money out there, and bounties on them.
Right.
So there's no telling what will come out of that. The one thing we haven't talked about was I saw that there was a congressman or somebody saying that that Trump couldn't remove the FBI director. Did you see that? He gets to serve out his term no matter what till 2027.
Yeah, 10-year term, my ass. Okay. Again, they're making up rules as they go along. Look, yeah.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
Well, we do know that the FBI director serves at the president's behest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's always been that way. It will always be that way.
I can just imagine old Chrissy Ray there, you know, maybe handcuffing himself to a pipe running out of his office or something, or to a radiator, you know. Come on, man. No, I just look.
What happened? Yeah. What did I do? Ay, ay, ay. Sad.
Yep. Sad.
Oh, man. You know, of all the people, of all the presidents, by the way, I think President Trump is probably the most entertaining, the most transparent, and the most, you gotta love the guy. Even if you don't like him, you gotta love him just for the fact that
he's not a politician. That's what sells Trump. He's not a politician. And that is what is desperately needed in Washington, D.C.
I agree.
They're sick and tired of walking.
I don't wear a toupee.
I'm serious. You got to be tired of walking into Congress, you know, and they're all lawyers. That's enough to ruin your day right there. But these people are so corrupt, and they've been doing it for so long, I think some of them actually think that it's okay.
I can see where they would think that, yeah.
You know, I saw Bondi had a meeting with Lindsey Graham. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
She had a meeting with Lindsey Graham. I could just imagine how that went. Lindsey has got to be sweating through multiple pairs of underwear every day.
Yeah, the other thing I saw about Graham was his, he was starting, I know Jack Posobiec, I heard I think he might have even posted this, where Lindsey Graham was bitching about Hegseth, saying that, look, we have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he can kiss. Really? I mean, look at Lindsey Graham. Mm-hmm. And he's got a problem with Hegseth?
Yeah. Lindsey Graham is a sorry excuse for a senator. He really is.
Holy crap.
He has never met a word.
Don't be rude.
How many of those you got, Eric the Tech? I mean, I love it.
That would be an amazing thing if that happened.
They just keep coming and coming. Sometimes you just have to laugh, though. Now, I did get an email that I promised the sender I would ask you, Jackie, the same name as my daughter, that's why I can remember that, sent me this email asking me to ask you. I just forgot what the heck the, hang on a second here.
To ask me?
Yeah, to ask you directly. Ask Randy Taylor what his thoughts are about Biden stepping down or having to step down with and placing Kamala Harris in office for at least one purpose, that purpose being
the first woman president or the first black woman president.
Pardoning Joe Biden. Sorry about that.
I don't see that happening.
Okay. All right. There was some talk about that.
Hey, I don't know how far Biden's going to push on this. I don't know what his mental capabilities are right now. I was looking at some pictures, a collage of pictures a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
At all the Bidens we've seen, you know, body doubles and all. And the more I think about it, it scares me. Who's in charge of the country right now?
Well, okay.
I think of myself as being as old as I am than Fly.
How can I even recover from that?
But it scares me. Well, our enemies are looking at this. They've been looking at this.
But okay, so my question is this. It's obvious they're using body doubles. I understand the need for body doubles at that level for a number of different reasons, legitimate reasons. But what I don't understand is when you have definitely a body double, not the Joe Biden, appearing in public and talking in public, he should be nothing more than almost like a stand-in for an actor. Yeah. Again, for legitimate purposes.
Yeah, like somebody walking in the horizon back there.
Oh, or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but,
not answering a reporter's question, right?
There you go. There you go.
Come on, man.
My question is why? And then I got to ask you too, and we can end on this note later, but I got to ask you about, did you see the White House Christmas decorations? What in the hell is that?
That Dr. Jill or whatever it is.
Good Lord.
She's nuts. She really is nuts. She looks like but whenever you see her, she looks like she just stole somebody's kitchen curtains or something.
Well, yeah, and put them on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, she just is. It's weird. I have to say she dresses very strangely.
Well, dresses strange, acts strange, and now she made the White House into a virtual Christmas circus. Yeah. I don't man, what the hell is that? And my question to you, too, could that be like an FU to the people? To the people who, you know, demanded Joe not run again, which I don't really care. But is that like an FU to everybody, or is that passive aggressive? Is that, or is that in your face? I mean, what is that? Or is that just pure bad taste?
I think it's bad taste in her case. Man. I really do. I think it's bad taste. I like how Melania decorates.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's classy.
Very classic.
Yeah.
Classy and classical.
Yeah. Just be glad Harris didn't decorate.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine Harris? Like right now, okay? If she would have gotten the votes. Oh, my gosh.
No. No, I can't. And here's the good news. If they bring her back out in 2028, they're done.
Oh, the dream team, Harris, man. And AOC. How's that? Or AOC and Harris.
Oh,
or
yeah, there you go.
We did it, Joe.
Yeah, she did it all right.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of a drinking problem there. And somehow, people are speculating, and I would agree with that, she has something to do with the cocaine in the White House.
You know, again,
because a true user of blow doesn't leave it laying around somewhere. They know where it's at all times.
So
Hunter didn't walk in there with a bag of blow and accidentally leave it somewhere.
You know, they have a print from that bag. Oh, you know, you know the secret.
In that White House, they have several prints off that bag.
That's true.
including the guy taking the prints.
Probably. Yeah, great standards, the DEI of the Secret Service. Now, earlier reports came in that it was Eric the Tech's bag, those
are jibbity nonsense.
There you go.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. We only have about 3.5-4 minutes left, so... what's on your mind? You know what, folks? I'm going to tell this. Look, I want you to pray for Randy Taylor. He's going to be with me Wednesday and Friday this week. And this is Tuesday, right? So tomorrow and then Friday. He's going to have surgery on Monday. I'm not going to get into anything. If he wants to, fine. But please, he'll be down for a day. A day and a half, 2 days. But please pray for him. And, you know.
It's something I've wanted done for a long time. It's an absolute medical necessity.
Yeah, so it's not elective.
It's not elective. Get this taken care of, and maybe I'll be able to restore some normalcy to my life in some aspects. So your prayers would be appreciated. You guys have pulled me through a lot in the last few years. It's amazing what prayer does. I found out so many people praying for me. Every time I turn around, somebody would ask how I was doing. Oh, I've been praying for you. A whole church is praying for me. Churches I don't even know.
Yeah.
And praying for me. And that just, you know, that really touches my heart. And thank you. We love you. We do it for you because we're in this with you. And
absolutely.
And I like to thank that we're a big family. We're a huge, gigantic, dysfunctional family. And
I'm glad you threw dysfunctional in there.
Well, we have to. But, we're going to get through this. Brighter days tomorrow.
I am so glad, and I know, look, any surgery is risky, especially with compounding medical problems. So, again, prayers definitely welcomed for Randy Taylor. But, you know, I really do expect you to be back and stronger and better, physically better. after this. I don't expect any. This is me in my heart, in my gut, the Holy Spirit saying you're gonna make come through this and be stronger for it. So, but that's next Monday. So, folks, make sure your prayers are kind of focused on that. And then I do want to mention again, Peter Barichaka. He'll be with me on Wednesday. And then we're gonna be having some others come in, and Randy Taylor and I are gonna double team some people.
And we follow Peter Chaka too on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you guys, pay attention, every time he puts up an article on American Thinker, we turn it over, we retweet it, we get it out there. He's a very good writer, very interesting person.
Yeah, and believe it or not, I mean, he's responsible for so many pictures you see in magazines and newspapers. The iconic picture of Nixon he was responsible for. I mean, he goes back a long way, and I know that he's got... just a metric ton of everything from reel to reel to cassette tapes to interviews like you couldn't imagine.
And he actually follows me now.
And yes, he does.
I pinned his ears back and he said, okay.
And, yeah.